Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hola Hoax. Well, it's been 2 years since we've been conducting our independent research on World War II, independent, that is, of our Jew-controlled government. What we have found is there were no gas chambers, 6 million Jews did not die in the concentration camps, and Hitler's final solution was a plan to export, deport, relocate, and transport, as opposed to exterminating all of the Jews out of the white man's homelands. The cost of this incredible hoax to the white race has been enormous. Whereas in 1950, white people comprised 20% of the world's population, we now only comprise 8%. That being the case, it's time to turn our attention to the solution. One part of the solution which I offer is a vigorous campaign on the part of white families to adopt white children. Of course, no white woman should ever abort a white baby. And it's wonderful if white parents will start producing white children. But all I can do is organize adoptions. To this end, I'm changing the focus of my show from the ridiculous hoax perpetrated on the human race, known as the Holocaust, to an actual campaign for adoption. Tonight, I will be talking about tax credits that the United States government gives its taxpayers for adopting babies. Unbelievable, but true. Adoptive parents can take a deduction of $10,160 and get a diminution in their reported income in the amount of an additional $10,160 to compensate them for the adoption fees that they incur in adopting each child. This doesn't mean the government pays them for having adoptions. It means that the government reimburses them for out-of-pocket expenses which they pay for adoptions. It's a wonderful breakthrough legislation. Now people can afford to adopt babies. White people can go to Russia and have the cost of the trip to Russia deducted from their taxes if they're able to successfully adopt a beautiful white Russian baby. What's so nice about this new law that allows parents to deduct $20,000 from their tax bill for each adoption is that it shows a nice change in the policy of the federal government toward the white man. 5 years ago, they started giving these deductions, and they only gave $5,000. Now it's up to $10,000, which doubled, makes it $20,000. Then, between 1997 and 2003, the government said, we're only going to give these deductions to parents of special needs children, which included children of minorities. Therefore, the white people were not being allowed this deduction. Suddenly, in 2003, white parents can enjoy a tax deduction of up to $20,360 if they have to spend that much money in the adoption process to get their beautiful white baby. And they will. An adoption of a white baby costs between $20,000 and $30,000. So now with this new tax break, suddenly white families are in the position to adopt white children.
Girl that I adore, and when the balloon
When you read Goebbels' diaries, you'll have nothing but sympathy for the difficulty Hitler had in removing the Jews from Germany in 1942. Goebbels says the Jewish question is again giving us a headache. This time, however, not because we've gone too far, but because we've not gone far enough. February 14th, he says, in that connection, it is significant that most of the local population leave with us wherever our troops are compelled to withdraw. Bolshevism is a doctrine of the devil, and anybody who has once suffered under this scourge doesn't want anything to do with it again. The sufferings of the Russian people under Bolshevism are indescribable. This Jewish terrorism must be radically eliminated from all of Europe. This is our historic task. So you see, here's proof in Goebbels' diaries that Hitler was trying to eliminate from the planet the scourge of Jewish Bolshevism, communism, which had taken over Russia and killed 100 million white Christian Russians. It was Hitler's sincere belief that Jewish Bolshevism, which had caused the murders of between 50 and 100 million white Christians, was born of the devil. Hitler saw himself as a powerful warrior against the Antichrist. He defined the Antichrist as communism, as many Catholics have. But he knew that if he was to clean up Bolshevism in Russia, he would have to drive out the Jews in Germany. So on February 14th, on February 14th, 1942, Goebbels wrote in his diary, "World Jewry will suffer a great catastrophe at the same time as Bolshevism." You see, he knew that there was a connection between the international group of Jews, which he called World Jewry, and the crimes being perpetrated against the white Russian Christians by the Bolsheviks. World Jewry was the architect of communism. And in fact, the inception of communism happened right here in America, in New York, when Jews from all over the world sought refuge in liberal America in order to cook up their cauldron of evil. Hitler knew that if he was to fight this Antichrist, he would have to drive the Jews out of Germany, because the Jews in Germany were, of course, loyal to World Jewry, which was perpetrating the crimes against the Russians under the anti-Christian regime of Bolshevism or communism. That's why Goebbels says World Jewry will suffer a great catastrophe at the same time as Bolshevism. An attack, in other words, against the communist regime in Russia, which was necessary in order to protect the lives of the white Christian Russians, was going to be an attack against World Jewry. So Hitler knew he was taking on an international enemy, not just the Russians. Hitler had a lot of trouble trying to convince the German officers that they needed to be uncompromising in getting rid of the Jews. White people being by nature very merciful, tolerant people, the German officers didn't like having to be told that they were going to have to get rid of all the Jews and that they needed to be strong and firm in this regard if they were to save the lives of the German people. Goebbels says in his diary that this uncompromising anti-Semitic attitude must prevail among all our own people despite all objectors. The Führer expressed this idea vigorously and repeated it afterward to a group of officers who can put that in their pipes and smoke it. In other words, Hitler said, I'm not going to listen to any merciful ideas about putting up with these Jews any longer. They are evil. They are connected to
communism. They are atheists. They are antichrists, and they must be mercilessly driven from our midst. You see, the white officers in Germany had a hard time being cruel and ruthless, very much as the problem we have today, where the enemy has come across our borders in America at the rate of 1 million per year. We're getting people coming in from Mexico, invading us in what really is an act of war. But most good people in the United States don't like the idea of having to stand up to the Mexicans and saying, this is our land, you can't come in here. That was the attitude that Hitler was trying to inculcate into his officers. He was saying, you have to be uncompromising here. If you're going to save your culture, you can't tolerate this stuff. They have got to go. Now, of course, that's been horribly exaggerated by Jews who tell us that there were gas chambers and an extermination program. No, there was not. There was an uncompromising attitude on the part of Hitler to drive the Jews out of Germany, just as we Americans need an uncompromising attitude to drive the illegal aliens out of our midst. And all of the other white homelands, like England, France, Germany, Scandinavia, who are being overrun with Pakistanis, blacks and browns. They need to stand up to these illegal immigrants and drive them from their homeland. I don't know how many of you have noticed how out of control the Jews are becoming, but lately some movies have come out in which the Jews don't even try to disguise their ugly natures and faces. In The Pianist, the male lead, a Jew, had a nose about 5 inches long that made several powerful changes of direction from the top of the nose, from between the eyes to the end. Just a really ugly Jewish nose, and yet he won an Academy Award for being a great romantic Hollywood idol. I'm talking about the movie The Pianist. More recently, we have this television series called Angels in America, in which Jewish homosexuals promote the idea that they are beautiful geniuses. And again, you see the really disgusting character of the Jew and his face with his giant nose and his receded chin looking soulfully into the camera, his face all greasy and covered with sores from AIDS, trying to get us to fall in love with him as if we weren't sensitive to his ugliness. Well, the same thing happened in Germany. It's so funny. In February 18, 1942, George Goebbels went to a Polish-Yiddish motion picture called The Die Buch. As he says, this film is intended to be a Jewish propaganda picture. Its effect, however, is so anti-Semitic that one can only be surprised to note how little the Jews know about themselves and how little they realize what is repulsive to a non-Jewish person. And what is not? Isn't that funny? It's just like in The Pianist and American Angels. They're trying to desensitize us to their greasy, short statures, their huge noses, their receding chins, as if they can make us believe that they're beautiful if they just keep parading themselves in front of our eyes over and over again. They were trying this in Nazi Germany. The Polish Jews were trying to convince the Germans that they were beautiful, and Goebbels was just laughing at them. I found an interesting quotation in Goebbels' diary that supports my contention that they were not using the concentration camps for death camps. I believe that's a total lie. Here on March 6, 1942, Goebbels says that the Jews always remain the same. You must either stigmatize them with a yellow star, or put them in concentration camps, or shoot them, or else let them saturate all public life with corruption, especially during a war. There is no halfway measure. So you see, he was saying you either control them or they're going to destroy you. But did you notice that in the three choices he gave, the concentration camps was a separate choice from killing them? He says you must either stigmatize them with a yellow star or put them in concentration camps or shoot them. So that's supporting evidence for our contention that they were not using the concentration camps for death camps. Otherwise, he wouldn't have separated the two options concentration camps or shooting them. March 7, 1942, Goebbels says there were 11 million Jews in Europe in 1942. So now we know there were 11 million Jews still in Europe in 1942. He talks about the final solution, and he makes it very clear they did not intend to kill the Jews. They just wanted to get them out of Europe. But they wanted to get them out of all of Europe. He said it wouldn't be enough just to get them out of Germany. There had to be a pan-European solution. He says, I have read a detailed report from the SD and police regarding a final solution of the Jewish question. Any final solution involves a tremendous number of new viewpoints. You see, they weren't thinking of exterminating them. They had a number of viewpoints trying to figure out how to deal with them. The Jewish question must be solved within a pan-European frame. There are 11 million Jews still in Europe. They still have to be concentrated later. To begin with, in the East, possibly an island such as Madagascar can be assigned to them after the war. In any case, there can be no peace in Europe until the last Jews are eliminated from the continent. Do you hear anything that talks about extermination? Of course not. There was no plan to exterminate them. They had to get 11 million Jews out of Europe, and they were thinking of putting them in Madagascar or Eastern Europe, and finally, everyone agreed to put them in Israel. Hitler saw the Jewish people in Germany as the enemy. He connected worldwide Jewry with the Jews in Germany, with the Jews in Russia. And he was at war with the Jews in Russia. It was his position that as part of his war against the Russian atheists, he was entitled, in the conditions of war, to also fight the Jews in Germany. Goebbels says in his diary on March 27, 1942, beginning with Lublin, the Jews in the general government are now being evacuated eastward. The process is a pretty barbaric one, and not to be described here more definitely. Not much will remain of the Jews. On the whole, it can be said that about 60% of them will have to be liquidated, whereas only 40% can be used for forced labor. So clearly Hitler intends to exterminate 60% of the German Jews and use the other 40% for forced labor. Naturally, the Jews are very upset about this, but you have to see it in relationship to the fact that Hitler was at war with the Jews and was dealing with them as if they were the enemy. So yes, he was committing a crime against humanity by exterminating a large number of people, but he was doing it to save Germany. Quote, the former Gauleiter of Vienna, who is to carry this measure through, is doing it with considerable circumspection and according to a method that does not attract too much attention. A judgment is being visited upon the Jews that, while barbaric, is fully deserved by them. The prophecy which the Führer made about them for having brought on a new world war is beginning to come true in a most terrible manner. One must not be sentimental in these matters. If we did not fight the Jews, they would destroy us. It is a life and death struggle between the Aryan race and the Jewish bacillus. Our no other government and no other regime would have the strength for such a global solution of this question. Here too the Führer is the undismayed champion of a radical solution necessitated by conditions and therefore inexorable. Fortunately, a whole series of possibilities presents itself for us in wartime that would be denied for us in peacetime. We shall have to profit by this. So you see, they knew that there would be huge world public opinion against them if they exterminated the Jews in peacetime. But because they were at war with the Russians, and because the Jews were connected to the Russian Bolsheviks and were part of the Antichrist world system, Hitler felt it was perfectly legitimate to take advantage of the wartime conditions to fight and defeat the ancient enemy of the white race, which is the atheistic Jews. Quote, "The ghettos that will be emptied in the cities of the general government," which is Poland, by the way, "now will be refilled with Jews thrown out of the Reich. This process is to be repeated from time to time. There is nothing funny in it for the Jews, and the fact that Jewry's representatives in England and America are today organizing and sponsoring the war against Germany must be paid for dearly by its representatives in Europe." So you see, Goebbels was talking about moving the Jews out of Germany into Auschwitz or Poland. And that is what they did. They took them to Auschwitz. But the plan to exterminate them that Goebbels was promoting never took place. They never put the gas chambers into place that he wanted. And so the German people have been maligned, partly because of Goebbels' desire to exterminate them, which was, in a way, legitimate. But let's be honest here. There were no gas chambers, and there was no extermination of the Jews. That's not to say that there were not exterminationists in Germany. Yes, there were, and Goebbels was one of them. And Hitler may have been one of them. Probably was. He did want to exterminate the Jews, if that's what it took to get them out of Europe and out of Germany. But he never was able to put the plan in place. We know this because there were no gas chambers. There's no evidence of gas chambers, no evidence of mass exterminations, in spite of the fact that massive tests have been done under the soil with biophysical x-rays, which show no mass graves, no evidence of any extermination. This does not mean that they didn't talk about exterminating them. Yes, they did, but they didn't do it. There's a very interesting reference to Herschel Greenspan in Goebbels' diary on April 14, 1942. Herschel Greenspan was a 17-year-old Polish Jew who assassinated a German embassy official in Paris named Ernst von Roth. When Greenspan learned of his parents' deportation from Germany, he reacted by assassinating this high-level German official. His action was the cause of Kristallnacht. Isn't that interesting? The Kristallnacht program, when the Germans went around and broke the glass of all the Jewish shops, was brought about in reaction to this assassination committed by this young Polish Jew. Goebbels says in his diary that he was concerned about the Greenspan trial, which was set for the middle of May, 1942. He didn't like the fact that homosexuality was going to be brought up in the trial and didn't want it known publicly that the homosexualities had also been considered enemies of the state by Hitler, and he didn't want it to come out in the trial that the Jewish evacuations were going on, so Goebbels stopped the trial. And apparently this Greenspan kid was assassinated. The entry by Goebbels in April 14, 1942 says, quote, "The Greenspan trial is now to start in the middle of May. I still have a few preparations to make. Preparations by the Department of Justice are in some respects not very clever psychologically. Thus, for instance, the problem of homosexuality, which really isn't under discussion, has been drawn into the trial procedure. And the question of Jewish evacuations is also to be dealt with publicly. I think this is about as bungling as possible. I shall see to it that these two sets of questions are not raised in court at all. All the other preparations were made in accordance with my directives, and if carried out, will undoubtedly make the trial a perfect success." So you see, Goebbels was thinking about this trial, and apparently he was a lawyer because he understood the rules of evidence. He did not want it brought to the public notice that homosexuals were treated in the same way as Jews. And apparently Grinspan was a homosexual, so this was going to come out, and he was going to make sure that all of this evidence was not admitted into evidence under the theory that it wasn't relevant to whether or not Grinspan had assassinated this high-level official. But what was of greater concern to him was that the Jewish evacuation question would surely be brought up, since this was the reason that Grinspan had assassinated this this German official named Ernst von Roth. Just like Tim McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma City building to protest against the Waco fiasco, Grinspan had assassinated this Ernst von Roth to protest against the fact that his parents had been evacuated out of Germany. Well, that was fine. It was fine that they had Grinspan and that they were trying him for the assassination, but Goebbels did not want it known publicly that these Jewish evacuations were taking place. And so the trial was never held, and the kid was undoubtedly assassinated. Well, at least now we know where comes this rumor that there were gas chambers and an extermination program. At least it wasn't just made up by the Jews. There were exterminationists in Germany who wanted to exterminate the Jews. But what we really know and have to bring home to the people of the world is that there were no gas chambers. And even if there were a few people in Germany who wanted to exterminate all of the Jews, the extermination program never took place.
Hog eating sloth in a big black spook, you know. Did I show it like a barnyard rooster? I crow it, and the end of a lazy peach would sure like to get a hold of nigger hating me. Roses are red and violets are blue, and niggers are black. You know that's true, but they don't mind, 'cause what the heck? You gotta be black to get a welfare check, and I'm broke. No joke, I ain't got a nickel for a coat. And I ain't black, you see. So Uncle Sam won't help poor nigger hating me. Jigaboo, jigaboo, where are you? I'm here in the woods while watching you. Jigaboo, jigaboo, come out now, so I'm scared of the white man way down south, you know. As I show it, stick your black head out and I blow it. And the end of a lazy pee can't keep you away from a little old nigger hating me. Blackest of them all. A man named King, it ain't no doubt, and he's causing lots of trouble with his baboon mouth. He's a doing, it's caused by the trouble he's a brewing, and the end of a lazy pee can't win if a white man's sick with nigger hating me. Hey, Mr. President, what do you say? When are we whites gonna have our day? The niggers had theirs such a long, long time. I'm a white and it's time that I have mine, you know it. As I show it, take it back, get out and I'll blow it. And the NAACP can't win if a white man stick with nigger hating me. Nigger hating me. Nigger hating me. Nigger hating me.
I don't see how you can be anti-KKK and a neo-Nazi at the same time, since the problems of both of the groups are exactly the same. The Nazi Party in Hitlerian Germany was facing the problem presented by the Untermensch Jew, the criminal, low-life, tricky, murdering, ugly Jew. The problem of the Southern gentleman in relationship to the Negro is exactly the same. And for exactly the same reasons, both of these groups of white men have been thoroughly misunderstood and misrepresented in history as being far more cruel and unfair than they actually are. Always remember the word fair means two things. It means just as well as blonde. And the reason that the word is used for both just and blonde is because blonde people have a sense of justice. White people have a conscience. They have intelligence. They are by nature merciful and kind. But in both the case of the KKK, Southern gentlemen, and the Nazis in Germany, they were being inundated or threatened by these primitive, inferior racial types. In the case of the KKK, the problem presented by the blacks was very serious, since the blacks have only 75% of the mental capacity of the whites, and yet 8 times the testosterone. The black presented a real danger to white society. Even in his own society, blacks were eating blacks. Well, when you transplanted these black, violent creatures into the southern, the upper class southern environment that was what the plantations were, you had to protect yourself against these niggers. So what the KKK did was they put on white sheets and white hoods, and they got on their horses, and they stomped through the neighborhoods of the Negroes screaming and yelling, because they had learned that the Negroes were very, very superstitious. They were stupid people. They are stupid congenitally, and therefore they were superstitious. They couldn't understand logic. They could never grasp the concept of God being a God of love. They sacrificed animals to their satanic devil god. And because of this strange propensity for superstition, it was easy for the KKK to keep them under control by putting on clothes that made them look like spirits and going through the Negro communities and saying, "We will get you if you don't behave." That was the way you control the Negro. Well, that's been totally misrepresented in history as being some kind of horrible extermination campaign involving lynchings and torture, which I'm sure did take place at times, but it's been grotesquely exaggerated. Just similarly, in the case of Nazi Germany, yes, there were exterminationists in Nazi Germany who wanted to exterminate the Jews as a way of getting them out of Germany, but reason prevailed, as it always does, in the inner circles of the white race, and there were no gas chambers and no extermination programs. So you see, these two groups have something very much in common. They both want the same thing. They both want an upper-class, elite, white society where learning can take place and inventions can occur. And they've both had to suffer with this horrible attack by the inferior races. I really think they ought to unite. Hitler was a great general with a terrible problem on his hands. He had witnessed the murder on the part of the Jewish Bolsheviks of 30 million property-owning white Christians in Russia, and then the continuing assault against the white Christians, which eventually ended up with 70 million white Christians being murdered by the Jewish Bolsheviks and the lowest element of the Russian culture, known as partisans, who used torture, crucifixions, rape, and every horrible tactic to gain their objection of destroying Russian culture and implementing instead atheistic communism, which Hitler correctly perceived as being the Antichrist. So Hitler was at war with the Russians. At the same time, there were 11 million Jews in Europe that had to be kicked out of Europe one way or another. That's what Hitler was facing. And had we supported him instead of going against him, he could have achieved his objective, which would have meant today America would be 95% white, as it was in the Second World War, and Europe would have retained its white identity, which means England would still be English, Sweden would still be Sweden, instead of these countries and the rest of Northwestern Europe being overrun by Pakistanis and blacks and browns. A brilliant genius Negro would be noticing the plight of his people. He would be looking at Africa and saying, "What am I going to do about the fact that my people are skinning each other alive and eating each other, sitting around barbecues and voting on which ant is going to be the next to get devoured?" That is what a genius Negro would be doing. He'd be saying, "My God, here I am, a super genius Negro, and I can't help but notice that most of my people in Africa
cannot grasp the connection between the condoms, the thousands of dollars of condoms that the Americans and the United Nations are sending to the men of my race so that they can put an end to AIDS. And instead, the men of my race are not using the condoms. They're going to the witch doctors of my race to find out how to prevent and cure AIDS. And they're following the orders of the witch doctors, which is to find a virgin. And, well, since we don't have any, they are raping girls that are 3 months old. And then they pass these children, these female children, around from man to man to man to cure their AIDS. And it doesn't even occur to them that after the first rape, this poor child is no longer a virgin. So the witch doctor's recipe can't even be followed. That's how dumb my people are. Oh, what am I going to do to save my people? That is what a genius nigger would be doing.
Well, I know why I think people hate the Jews. It's because the Jews wormed their way into the white homelands without being invited and without being wanted, and then sit their fat asses right down in front in the center of our little Dresden communities with our delicate little white picket fences and fart all over us. That's why we don't like the Jews. And then they get very uppity and upset if we say, would you please leave our living room and go back to your own home? We didn't invite you here and we don't want you here. So then in their anger, and because of their congenital propensity for stealing, remember, these guys are gypsies. The word gypsy comes from Jewish Egyptian. They spent some time in Egypt, as we all know, and that's where they came up with the name gypsies. They're nomadic people. They have no loyalty. They go into the white man's homelands, and they take everything they can get. They take it in the form of gold, silver, diamonds. That's why their name is Goldberg, silver, and diamond. Those are Jewish names because that's what the Jews amass for themselves wherever they go. They never buy property. They never try to get along in the community. They hoard everything they can steal in the form of gold, silver, and diamonds, and they put it in their little pockets, and they look around furtively to see if anybody's noticing. Yes, Jew, we notice you, and we don't like you. Maybe they are human. I personally don't think they are, but I also think it's irrelevant because I love all animals. There's not an animal in the world that I don't love, except I don't like mice and I like snakes to stay in their own part of the territory. But I don't hate snakes and I don't hate mice, but I do hate Jews. So it isn't because they have a subhuman status. It's because of what they are. They're demons. They are not nice creatures. They are the least fuzzy creature that we have on the planet. There's nothing except the Negro in the plant world or the animal, in the animal kingdom or the human kingdom, that is so cruel and evil and vicious as the Jew. You see, the Jew lies. The Jew lied about the gas chambers. The Jew lied about the German people. The Jews infected Germany with their presence, stole money, got control of the media, got control of the banks, got control of the businesses, and did their usual blood-sucking trick, which you might be able to excuse them for that. But they did something really wrong. They partnered up with communism. In fact, communism was an invention of the Jews. So Hitler had a choice. He either got rid of the Jews or Germany was going to fall to the communists and all of the upper class and the intelligentsia, and all the fine and beautiful parts of German society that Hitler loved was going to be destroyed, just as it was in Russia. That's why we don't like the Jew. The Jew is an untermensch. The Jew is a low-class lout, and he wants to make all of us low-class like him, belching and farting and being foul and filthy. This is why I don't like the Jew. I cannot respect a group of people who would put the lowest laborer above the king and queen. This is too upside down. What only makes sense is what the white man has developed in the way of culture, which has produced castles, museums, and churches. And that's a reasonable social structure with the more intelligent, gentle,
kind and powerful people at the top and the lower level people who are doing the labor at the bottom. And that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what the Jew is trying to destroy. They want to put the laborer on top, and they want to put the king in the gutter.
There's no one more dangerous than the Jew. This is a mixture of an Asian man who mixed with the Negro man and became of an even more dangerous Negro and also a more primitive Asian. The Asians are not that hot. They're into torture, hideous tortures. So they're certainly not human, as the white man is. But then, this hybrid between the Asian and the black went into Europe and has been using its bright Asian mind, because Asians are very calculating, very smart. They just aren't creative or ethical. And this genotype has been purposely race-mixing with the white man, and of course we're at fault for allowing it, so now we have a real problem on our hands. The Jew is not mostly white. That's a huge mistake. The Jew that we're used to seeing, or at least I can say this because I'm 61 years old, and I know what Jews used to look like when I was a kid. They've done an awful lot of race mixing with the white race just in the last 50 years. But what the Jew looks like and has looked like for 5,000 years is a very white-faced person with very dark black hair and dark brown eyes and a big hook nose and a receding chin. They tend to be short and greasy. This is an Asian. This is not a white man. A white man, the pure white genotype is tall, slender, a blushing man with blonde hair and blue eyes. That's the perfect pure blood white man. There's not any resemblance between the true Jew of 50 years ago and the white man, except for the fact that they have assiduously been trying to lighten and whiten and make themselves taller and slenderer by race mixing just in the last 50 years. But the by far the most amount of blood in the Jew is Asian, and this is really the genotype you're looking at with the Jew. You're looking at an Asian, a brilliant, calculating mind, not creative, not as smart as whites, in my opinion, because they sure didn't produce castles, museums, and churches over there in Asia. They didn't produce very much compared to the white men. But they do have that bright, calculating, imitative mind that has become made more dangerous by mixing with the black man, and now they're on a huge, hot and heavy campaign to race mix with the white man to make themselves more acceptable. But we shouldn't allow this. It's incorrect to say that white people are inbred, and it's incorrect to think of hemophilia as being caused by inbreeding. Inbreeding only occurs between mother and child or sister and brother. That is what you have to do in order to get these genetic diseases caused by inbreeding. The problem with hemophilia or any other genetic disease or inherited disease is simply that. It's an inherited disease, and the person who carries that disease either should not have children to avoid the risk of passing it on to their children, or if they do have children, they should abort the children if they carry the disease. It's certainly wrong to allow this gene of hemophilia to go through your family line and produce more agonized, unhappy children. But the real problems with genetic diseases, not just hereditary, but genetic diseases that are specific to race, do not come as a result of inbreeding, but as a result of race mixing. This is what people have to understand. The white man has no genetic diseases that are specific to the white race. The black man has only one genetic disease that is specific to the black race, and that is sickle cell anemia, which protects the black man against malaria. So there's even a good reason for the sickle cell anemia gene. So far that's two races, neither of which have any genetic diseases that are specific to their races. I don't know about the Asians, but I suspect it's the same
for the Asians. By contrast, the Jew, who is the most mongrelized group of people on the face of the earth, have opened the gates to all kinds of genetic diseases that are specific to Jews. Over 250 of these diseases are specific only to Jews. Most of them attack the nervous system or the brain of the Jew. So you see, it is race mixing, not inbreeding, that opens the doors to racially specific genetic diseases.
So you see that some races are stupider than others. The white race, with its castles, museums, and churches, is vastly superior to every other race. And yet, all of the other races are proliferating to the point where each couple has 5, 6, and 7 children, while the white couple has 1 or 2 children. Because of the fact that intelligent people only breed that number of children they can comfortably support, and stupid people breed as many children as they can, the white race has lost its niche in the world population. In 1952, white people comprised 20% of the world's population. Today, our numbers are only 8%. This diminution in numbers of the white race, from 20% of the world's niche to only 8%, is in perfect conformity with the decision made in the 1900s by the Jewish Bolsheviks to exterminate the white man. And in fact, the white man now faces extermination and extinction. All tendencies at the extermination or extinction of the white race should be fought vigorously by all white people, and all efforts on the part of the enemy to make the white man feel guilty for wanting to survive have to be trampled completely. It's written on the genetic code of every race to survive. The white race must also survive. Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoke. Next week, same time, same station.